We're live.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to call the June 21st, 2021 study session of the University City Council to order at approximately 5:35. Before we begin the study session, are there any changes to the regular agenda requested by the administration or by members of council? Hearing none. I would like to begin the study session by calling to order a public hearing on the fiscal year 2022 annual budget and capital improvements. The hearing is now open at 5:35. All members of the public were notified of the public hearing, and as of the end of the posting deadline due to the precautions we are under with COVID, there were no public comments that are received by the city clerk by noon today. So with that being said, no members of the public are here. I will close the public hearing at 5:36. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, thank you for giving me the opportunity to present the proposed annual operating budget and capital improvement program for fiscal year 2022. I want to first start out by recognizing the staff, the department directors in particular that worked on the budget. Certainly Keith Cole and his staff, who did a lot of the heavy lifting and putting the document together. We must preserve our strong financial position for as long as possible. No one can say with certainty how long the pandemic will last. The proposed annual operating budget and capital improvement program for fiscal year 2022 balances the need to move towards normal operations, rewards our essential employees for working in a challenging environment, and maintains our strong financial position. These things would not be possible without the federal assistance we will receive from the American Rescue Plan funding. The proposed budget was put together with several priorities in mind. Those include economic development, public safety, encourage high quality growth, prudent fiscal management, infrastructure, community quality of life amenities, and our employees. This gives you just an overall overview of how the organization is structured. You'll notice there that it includes the two assistant, that should be assistant city manager positions and the functions that they will have. Some of the functions, it's not an exhaustive list. As a resident, when you look at your tax bill, one of the things that you consider is what is the amount of funding that each jurisdiction that has the ability to receive property taxes, what is the amount of taxes that they're imposing? And for the city of University City, that amount is 0.6100, or roughly 8% of your tax bill. So what does that equate to? On a home with a market value of approximately $200,000 and an assessed value of $38,000, that equates to about $233 per year. I want to just briefly go over some of the major highlights for the fiscal year 2020. It continues a strong financial position. It is drafted with the belief that we'll have the same property tax rate as we had in FY21, or this fiscal year. It recommends a targeted 1.7% cost of living allowance. It provides funding for broadband study, and it also funds pension at the recommended levels. It recommends the creation of TIF funds. It creates an American Rescue Act fund and exceeds the mandatory general fund reserve balances that are established by code. If you look at all of the revenue sources, you'll see that property taxes makes up about 13%, but the largest share of taxes that we receive are from sales and use taxes at about 22%. The remainder of those revenue sources equate to all of the revenues that we receive for our proposed budget. The screen that you're seeing is simply an example of those tax revenue sources based upon an exploding pie chart that shows you the percentages as well. Again, with the sales and use tax at 22.6% of the amount that is received in property taxes at 13.3%. This does give you a good example of why economic development is so important in our community and the diversification of our local economy here. In the past, we've been heavily reliant on property taxes, but as you know, the Hancock Amendment limits the amount of increases that that you can have. So it goes without saying that businesses such as the new Costco that's going to be coming on board are extremely important for this community. This next slide gives you an overview of the expenditures. General fund, which is the fund that houses most of the services, our employees for most of the services that we provide, that totals to about 58.4% of our entire budget. And the remaining funds are distributed, but certainly the general fund has an overwhelming amount of the expenditures coming from that. Again, this is simply an exploding pie chart that demonstrates that percentage difference, a general fund at the 58.4%. I'd like to begin focusing more on the general fund, starting with some of the highlights. Where I am proposing is to add two code compliance officer positions, adding one senior planner position, reduce the IT specialist to a part-time position, and restore one of the building inspector positions that was frozen as a part of restructuring our budget in response to the pandemic. It also proposes funding for the visioning process, for the comprehensive plan update, continues to recommend funding for the housing demolition program, and it establishes the 36% revenue balance, which far exceeds what the code requires at 17%. General fund, if you look at all of the revenue sources that go into general fund, property taxes makes up about 13%, the use tax is about 22%, and gross receipts, so the electric, cable, and so forth, all of those equate to about 21.8%. And other financing, which will include transfers in from the various funds, including the American Rescue Plan, equates to roughly 16% of all funds. And this is just the exploding pie chart again that demonstrates that on a percentage basis. I mentioned that there were several transfers into the general fund from various funding sources. This page identifies those transfers, the amounts, as well as the source. You will notice the American Rescue Plan at this time is being proposed at a little over $2 million, and those costs will primarily those funds will primarily be used to cover the costs for essential workers. One area that we will take a closer look at is the Olive I-170 TIF RPA-2 at $75,000. I believe that we will be able to identify a different funding source for that amount. It will likely be a mixture of CDBG funds at this time, as well as general funding. The last transfer out is from general fund to cover all of our fleet maintenance operations at a little over $1 million. General fund expenditures broken down on a department basis is this slide. It shows that the bulk of general fund costs are associated with public safety. So police has about 35% of general fund, and fire covers about 20% of general fund. So altogether, that totals to 55% of the general fund dollars goes towards public safety, which is not unusual for communities. This just gives you a pie chart example, again, with the percentages, police and fire, and it demonstrates just how much of that general fund dollars goes towards public safety. For a summary for general fund, we're proposing a budget of $27,714,735, both for revenues and proposed expenditures, with a ending fund balance of $9,691,146. I'd like to review with you some of the department highlights, starting with the city manager's office, proposing to fund a citizen satisfaction survey. Cost for that survey is approximately $25,000. That's included as in the city manager's budget. Also proposing to fund the visioning process. You may recall that at one point we had those processes of visioning and the comprehensive plan update combined. So this budget proposes to uncouple those. City manager's office, Gabby, will oversee that project for the visioning process, and our planning and development director, Clifford Cross, will oversee the process for the update of the comprehensive plan. It funds the distribution of roars, and it reduces the IT specialist to a part-time position. It maintains communication oversight. It returns the parking garage. That's going to be the responsibility of Assistant City Manager Brooke Smith to oversee that. It returns economic development oversight to the City Manager's office. Assistant City Manager Gabby Macaluso will be overseeing those functions. Housing will be overseen by Assistant City Manager Brooke Smith. The finance department highlights and restores funding for a frozen position. That was an accounting position, and provides funding for the annual audit. Up under their municipal court, it maintains the current service level, so it does not recommend any additional staffing in that area. Up under police, we are proposing to maintain the current service levels. It provides, or at least identifies, funding for the renovation of the annex. It funds surveillance cameras, and it also funds police replacement vehicles. For the fire department, it maintains the current staffing levels, proposes funding for training for the training officer's vehicle, provides final allocation for the ambulance replacement at $150,000, and it funds SCBA bottle purchase. Up under Public Works, it funds the renovation of the Trinity Building, as well as provides funding for street maintenance program, curb and sidewalk, and Westgate improvements. Further on Public Works, it absorbs the recycling cost. You may recall through this study that the recycling currently costs the city about $700,000 annually. Now, those costs in the past have been offset by the product that we produced, but when China made those changes and stopped accepting recycling product, that changed the cost that we were incurring. So where we were able to sell that, now we can't, so now we are absorbing all of those costs and have for about the past 2 years. Proposes funding for two dump trucks and funding for Drexel Avenue reconstruction. Up under the planning department, it adds the senior planner position. It adds two code compliance officers. It eliminates one advanced clerk typist, proposes funding for the comprehensive plan update. Continuing with proposes funding to allow us to continue with the demolition program, and it restores funding for one of the building inspector positions. Under Parks, Recreation, and Forestry, now it shifts the oversight of fleet maintenance operation to Mr. Dunkel, who is the director over that department. Proposes funding for indoor turf for Centennial Commons, as well as repairs to the driving range. So it proposes funding for mowers, some street, or I'm sorry, tree replacement, and hazardous tree removal. I just want to quickly review some of the other funds with you. The public safety fund total amount of expenditures from that fund is $2.2 million. We'll still have an ending fund balance of about $48,000, but we'll need to watch that fund pretty closely. For the capital fund, expenditures of $2.7 million with revenues of $2.1, the ending fund balance of $249,152. Park and Stormwater Fund, expenditures of $1.2 million with revenue of $861,000. Still a very healthy fund balance of $853,000. The EDRST fund, or Economic Development Retail Sales Tax Fund, proposing expenditures of $98,370. Most of that is to cover the portion of Ms. Macaluso's salary. Did not propose the expenditures. As you know, we have a process that we go through each year that includes taking those items to the Economic Development Retail Sales Tax Board. But it will still end with a very healthy fund balance of almost $2 million. This next fund is proposed is a new fund. Need to correct that the revenue amount is actually $2,019,000. $988,000, but we'll make that adjustment as part of proposed budget amendments. And again, the $75,000 in expenditures, we'll look to restructure that. The American Rescue Plan, this is simply a very conservative projection on the amount of revenues that we anticipate receiving. This projection was less than what we received from the Missouri Municipal League. So there will be a budget amendment that increases it slightly, or proposes to increase it slightly, but it still will be less than what is estimated by MML. And we are just taking a very conservative approach at this time. Most of those funds are covered, or to cover the costs associated with essential workers. There's a fund balance that I'm proposing to leave in there. At this time, it's at $328,000. I'll probably recommend additional transfer from this fund, but that will be a part of a budget amendment, proposed budget amendment that will be forthcoming. Some of the things that are on the horizon, certainly the proposed budget amendments, there will be several of those. If you recall, it's required that I provide you with this proposed budget at the beginning, no later than May the 1st. And so since that time, we've learned more about some of our expenditures. So I will bring those forward to you and make the recommendations of the changes on the floor. As all of you are aware, based upon the fishbowl that you're in, certainly the pandemic is not over. So I think we have to be cognizant of that. And where the economy is improving, it could certainly change. And so we're just very mindful of that situation. Funding the construction renovation of the annex and the Trinity Building. We're trying to minimize the cost of that type of construction would potentially have on our residents. So I'll be working with our finance director to see if there are other options for funding the construction through existing revenues. Solid waste rate increase. We'll be talking more about that with you for fiscal year 23, but as I just explained, the absorbing the $700,000 associated with recycling is quite a challenge that will need to be addressed. The fire quarter cent sales tax, there are two issues associated with potentially seeking approval for that. One is to strengthen the pension fund, the unfunded liability that's associated with the uniform plan. Also, they are evaluating the need for a third ambulance and when that's going to be required. So I will end up having more discussions with you about the potential of seeking that additional quarter cent. That concludes my presentation and would take any questions that you have.
To members of council, I know many of you may have had the opportunity to ask your questions either ahead of time in meetings or by email. So I do recognize that, but for those of you who maybe have additional questions or have not done so, are there questions of the city manager at this time? Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Excuse me. Mr. Rose, just for clarification purposes for those people at home that are listening in, the American Rescue Plan is the the general fund transfer in is about $2.1 million or $3 million. What I would like for you to elaborate on is what the funds will be used for, because I've heard some people ask that, well, why isn't that money just set aside and saved for a rainy day? But could you explain that we're, that I think what the explanation you gave to me previously was that we're folding this into our needs now. So could you just elaborate on that a little bit more, please?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Kusick, that's exactly right. It enables us to cover some of the costs associated with essential workers, and essential workers primarily are public safety. So in order to continue to fund them at a competitive wage as well as benefits, that's what those funds are being used for. And remember that we will get two allotments. One will come in fiscal year 22, and the second will come in fiscal year 23. So you really don't have an option of simply setting those funds aside. We'll be reporting to the state as well as to the federal government on our use of those funds, and they're pretty strict as far as how they can be used.
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Mr. Rose, just to continue that conversation about American Rescue Funds. So you're saying they're really restrictive on how they can be used. What are those restrictions, if you don't mind, just, you know, and let me be more specific about that, so it's not a general question, but can those funds, could those funds in fact be used for infrastructure?
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, some infrastructure. It can be used for stormwater, we may eventually end up recommending a project in stormwater that those funds could be used for. It could be used for one of the studies that I'm proposing, which is the broadband. It can be used for that type of study and for that type of infrastructure, broadband, but it's not broadly written so that you can use it for any infrastructure project.
So
it's more narrowly defined.
So would that eliminate streets, or would streets, could streets possibly be part of that?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I know that we, as well as some other jurisdictions, are taking a look at that. But at this point, there's nothing in the bill that would indicate that streets would fall up under that. It really has to be closely aligned with stormwater management and broadband. The other use is for maintaining competitive wages for and benefits for essential workers. So it was really targeted at ensuring that jurisdictions were not placed in the position of having to lay off some of their public safety. And that is primarily what I'm recommending that it be used for.
Okay. And then one other question is that if you could just briefly kind of give me an example of what you see as the funds that are going to be set aside for visioning program, and how do you see that working?
On the 28th, you will be presented with a proposed contract with a firm that will guide the community through the visioning process. You're familiar with that firm. I think it's called the IQ. And if you recall, we went through a process where we had the visioning process and the comprehensive plan coupled together. We identified two firms with great expertise in separate areas. And so instead of trying to go back out and hope that we received a proposal from a firm that was excellent in both areas, we decided to propose that we uncouple them and provide the firm that was excellent in visioning to do that, and the firm that's excellent in updating the comprehensive plan to do that.
Thank you.
Mr. Clay.
No.
Mr. McMahon.
I'll try to be brief. Excuse me. City Manager Rose, I was looking at the street maintenance. It was my understanding in past budgets that most of the street construction is covered under contractual services. So I kind of use that as the guideline for amounts for funding there. But so looking at that, it looks like compared to 2019, we're down a little, but then going back to the grants that we would receive for street construction, that's significantly up to about 800,000. So I'm looking at comparing those 2 years. In 2019, even though we were higher on our contractual services, our grants were down. So we had about 1.1 million in street construction. But if you add the same numbers, this proposed budget, we're up to 1.5 million. So am I reading that right? So we're actually, well, you're looking at contractual services, it looks like we're down, but when you combine all the funds together, mm-hmm. we're actually increasing by about $400,000. Am I reading that right?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember McMahon, I believe that is accurate. I want to confirm that with our director, Sinon. I'm told that is accurate. Each year we pursue grants for a major grant for street improvement. And so the cost of those street improvements fluctuates. And that's where you may see 1 year it's higher or lower slightly. But normally we are seeking a major grant. So it's going to be pretty substantial each year.
And then the other question I had was in with Parks and Recreation. And I know over the last year and into this year, hiring and just the restrictions that were placed on us were difficult. But with this budget, then going into beginning of summer next year, I was noticing that there were a lot of personnel positions that might relate to summer programs aren't being authorized. And I'm wondering how, if we're planning maybe, you know, maybe this year we can't do it, but if we're looking to next summer, would we be thinking about authorizing some of that? And then it looks like there's aquatics and lifeguards. Are we looking back at bringing it back in-house again? So if you can explain those to me, that would help.
Two issues for the lifeguards. We're still proposing for this next fiscal year to contract that service out, and I believe that's about $284,000 that's associated with the cost. With regards to the programs that are going to be offered, it is likely that I will be coming back to the mayor and council and asking for a budget amendment after we get into the fiscal year. That gives the director, Darren Dunkel, an opportunity to work with his staff to evaluate all of the programs that have been offered in the past to determine, you know, should we be offering each of those programs? Are there some that should fall off? Are there some that we should start? Are there those that we should just simply continue as is? But he needs an opportunity to go through that evaluation, and then we'll bring back our recommendation to you and to the council for direction.
Thank you.
Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. A few questions, and let me follow up with Councilmember Cusick's question about the American Rescue Plan, and I'll also add in Olive 170. We receive, I think, budget updates roughly quarterly. When we receive those budget updates, will we get a line item accounting of the expenditures associated with these programs? They are unique. I think they're new to the public and new to us. And so I think getting perhaps more granular with these early on, I think would be of some benefit. So can you talk a little bit about your thinking around that?
We are going to be required to report to the, I believe, both the state and federal government the use of the American Rescue Plan funds. And so my intention is to provide the council with that document. And that will, we believe, will outline how those funds have been used. It wasn't a situation where they will have strong oversight of those funds. We simply don't know what the reporting requirements will be. We simply know that there will be reporting requirements, because understand a lot of this is still new and the Treasury Department is still putting the program together, but they have already provided guidance on the use of the funds and indicated that they will be requiring reporting.
And I think along with that, Olive 170, you know, not reported to that degree of the American Rescue Plan, but the detail of those expenditures, I think, would be helpful for the community as well, as again, it's a new funding source. So we'll look forward to those updates. Couple other things. I noticed on page 62, under finance, it talked about some 21,000 payments that were made, 3,000 of them online. Can you talk about any ideas to boost the online payment percentage for our citizens? It seems like a real efficient way if we can get people to do that as opposed to sending in checks and, you know, coming up to the window with cash, all these other things. Can you talk about plans to maybe add some more capacity to that?
I think after we look at each department, be it our court operation, or our parks and recreation operation, or just, you know, people having to come in to pay bills in the finance department, the more that we can make that process easier for people is the direction that we're heading. Now, keep in mind that normally when you have a transaction of that nature, there is a cost associated with it. So some people may still prefer to come in. I think, and I'll defer to our finance director, but I believe that we are still we're absorbing some of those costs at this point. I think it's typically a 2% cost that you have for the transaction. But more broadly, I think anything that we can do to make it easier for our residents and citizens to make payment, that's exactly what we're trying to do.
And one more question, now turning to planning and development. One more question delivered in three parts, but really quick parts, Mayor Crow. Under inspectors, we're increasing. How many should we have? What does fully staffed look like?
If you give me just a second, I'll have our director come up and he can explain, because that's a broad operation that includes inspections for code enforcement and for building inspections. And so I'll let him lay that out for you.
So we would have six inspectors doing the building inspections.
See, if we were fully staffed.
Yes.
And so that is what we will have.
We will have five.
We will have five.
Yes.
Okay. That was really the question. Yeah. That was it. Just curious. On the number. And can you talk about the senior planner position and the responsibilities there? I'm excited about adding that capacity to the city, and I think it's a great thing. So if you talk a little bit about that.
If the budget is adopted as presented, included in there is the update of the comprehensive plan. And so that is one. And, you know, Cliff's plate is already pretty full. So I think that he's going to need additional capacity, not just for the update of the comprehensive plan, but for the following project that will occur, which is the update of our zoning ordinances. So there will be a lot of work. And right now he is also the director and the zoning administrator. Normally those responsibilities are separate. Now he may decide, even after a senior planner is on board, that he wants to retain that. But I think him having the ability to provide the senior planner with some of the day-to-day review of the various zoning applications that are coming in will be very helpful for him. But particular as they get into the granular portion of updating the comprehensive plan, as well as the subsequent zoning ordinances.
Thank you.
Just so you know, the mayor would like to ask some questions too. So, Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor Crow. This will be very quick and simple. And this is probably a question for our director, Darren Dunkel. And that is, I noticed in the goals for park and recreations, I just simply wanted to find out, we talked about Greensfelder Park, had a plan for Greensfelder Park. And I just wanted to make sure, are we no longer doing that? Because I don't see it in the goals specifically for this upcoming budget.
Mr. Dunkel, I believe we're still.
Pro Tem Smotherson, you are correct. It is not in the budget. As you may recall, that this has been in front of the Parks Commission for about a year or so, and it is, they have decided to put it off until the July meeting to have any discussion about the possible future of Greensfelder. So until that occurs and they make a recommendation to council, right now it is at a standstill.
Thank you. Mr. Rose, a couple of questions. In the budget that we were given some time ago, it had a different COLA amount than what you've got now. Was there a change of condition that occurred?
Honorable Mayor, council members, we had an opportunity to contact, if you recall, about a year, 2 years ago, we contracted with CBIZ to do a comprehensive review of our salaries and benefits. And so we reached out to them again to determine exactly where we were in the market place. They believe that the 1.7% cost of living allowance was appropriate. Now, I will share with you that their position was we should do that across the board. I wasn't convinced that that was appropriate based upon the times that we're in. So effectively, that would have potentially given employees a 7% increase. So what I'm proposing as a part of this year's, of next year's budget, is that we allow for the cost of living allowance at the end of the salary range. So that increases by 1.7%. And the remaining employees within the salary ranges would be eligible for a 5% increase based upon merit.
Okay. Thank you. A couple of other questions I had, if I could. When we go to the revenue sources, and maybe this is just the accountant background, is there a way for us to break out? I get that we've got the American Recovery Plan. I get that under other financing sources, but it seems odd to me that the third and fourth highest sources of revenue are, one is called miscellaneous and one is called other. And between miscellaneous and other, they represent 25% of our budget. And I just think for our oversight purposes, that is not a good policy for us to have 25% of our budget listed as miscellaneous or other. And I'm hoping that we can break that out regularly so that we don't, I mean, I realize there's probably a little bit, even some space concerns here, but I think that just as a matter for the public to have that large a percentage of the budget put there probably causes a little bit of concern. And the only other questions that I had as I go through this, if you'll give me just one section, set is, where are we on body cameras?
We are moving forward with the continued purchase of body cameras. And we have Captain Lemons here. Let me check with him real quick so he doesn't have to walk up.
Right, right. Yeah, and I can move on to something else and we can come back to it even during, if you want to, why don't I keep going? And then during the regular meeting, you can just reply back so no one has to get up. And it's really not a rush. I just think that, you know, we've had this conversation before. We probably ought to circle back around on body cameras. I think you answered the long-term plan of absorbing recycling costs, or at least a conversation that we're going to be having as to some options that we'll have available to us. Am I correct on that?
Mayor, that is correct.
And then only last ones I have are, at some point in time, can we get an update on the EDRST loan program, its usage, source of funds that are left? And I think probably not only probably to the members of the EDRST first, and then to council members second. And then the broadband study, is that an expansion or an enhancement of what currently exists that you have put in with the highlights?
What I'm proposing is that we do a review of the entire city to determine whether we are positioned well as it relates to broadband for the recruitment of businesses. And so that's what's being proposed. I don't know if it will be an expansion necessarily. I believe that there are still unknowns about how we are structured, whether we will be successful in recruiting those type of businesses. So if we are deficient, I think that it would be good for us to know that, and then we can develop a strategy for improving that area.
Okay. We have about 10 minutes left. Would you like to, I'm more than willing to adjourn the meeting and move to a break before the regular meeting, or I see Mr. Kusick has his hand up. Yes, sir.
Thank you. If I could get one last question. And Mr. Rose, on the special districts, specifically the LSBD and then the Parkview Gardens Association. I seem to recall that we annually approve the budget for the LSBD. However, we don't do that for the Parkview Gardens Association or Parkview Gardens Special Business District. Am I correct about that?
I'm Mayor Councilmember Kusick. I believe that the Parkview Gardens budget is included. I'll refer to our finance director, but because they are a subsidiary of the city, you should be approving those budgets. So I'll take a look into that with the finance director.
Thank you.
I believe Mr. Smotherson, did you have another bite of the apple? No? All right. Hearing no other questions, I will adjourn this study.
Honorable Mayor,
yes, sir.
If I could just make one other comment. I will be coordinating with each of you through LAREIT to try and schedule a special meeting for this week. We will try to provide the same notification time period 36 hours. So looking to do a special meeting for the actual consideration of the budget. We would like to have waited until Monday to have that the council consider it, but a part of your charter requires that you actually consider the budget on or before June the 27th. And so I'll be working through LAREIT to try and get a Zoom meeting scheduled with you and with that one item for this Friday is what we're tentatively targeting.
And is it my understanding that that meeting can likely be done either in person or by Zoom? Am I correct?
That is correct, Mayor. Our preference for this, because of such short notice, is to do it via Zoom.
All right. Thank you very much. The study session is adjourned. We will begin the regular session at 6:30. Thank you.